Welcome to Freshfire's weekly podcast.
Amen. Wow. Okay. Well, I want to talk today about something that I feel like God is certainly been speaking to leadership about, and it's really about our words and our speech. And those of us that were privileged enough to be at Resonance were just so blessed to be around the prophets. And of course we have our own resident prophets in the church as well, and we're blessed by that. And just seem to live in a different atmosphere. You know, their head is in heaven, in the heavenly places. And sometimes I feel as a pastor, my feet are well and truly planted on the ground. That's why it's good to be in teams. You know, we need people whose feet are on the ground and people whose head are in the clouds. But recently I've seen a few times in the spirit what looks like a crochet hook. Anybody do crochet here? A crochet hook. And it just feels like God is hooking onto heaven and pulling it down so that it's nearer earth. And even yesterday, my daily reading was James 5. Keep your hopes high and be patient, for the presence of the Lord is drawing close. You know, so that is what we are looking for in the future. The presence of God being drawn down more and more. And there's a term that I noticed that Abby and Naomi use a lot, which is about, what do you say, making a something on heaven, a demand, making a demand on heaven. It's like, you know, that's the same sort of thing, pulling heaven down to earth, making sure that when we walk, we're walking with God's agenda. We're very familiar with, well, I hope we're very familiar with the verse from Proverbs 18:21. Your words are powerful. They kill or they give life. And the talkative person will reap the consequences. Or, that's the Passion Version. Or death and life are in the power of the tongue. Those who love it will eat its fruit. That's Proverbs 18:21. But how literally do we take how serious our words are and how much they have an impact in the environment that we actually speak them into? I was looking at, if we're studying Ephesians in our collective, which is an incredible book, and I just absolutely love it. But I noticed one of the notes in the Passion Version says, you know, in chapter 1 where it says that we're chosen before the foundations of the world, that God chose us before the foundations of the world. Well, it says that God spoke into existence, he chose us to be a word before the foundations of the world. That's one of the translations. He chose us to be a word before the foundations of the world. So it's almost like God spoke us into existence before we actually became real. So the word of God is powerful, and we know that he created everything by his word as well. And we're to live like that as well. We're to live so that everything we say needs to be creative like it was for God. I love the book of James because James was a pastor and he was very, very practical. Now, let's just have a look at this verse. Chapter, if you want to open your Bibles, I want to read quite a bit, actually, from James chapter 3. Because if there's any scripture in the Bible that teaches us about the power of our words, this is it. I'm going to put my glasses on, so I'm serious about reading. So, James chapter 3. I'm going to start at the first verse. I'm sorry, I'm tempted to read quite a bit because it's all so good. Thank you. Who gave me permission? Thank you, Jasmine. My dear brothers and sisters, don't be so eager to become a teacher in the church, since you know that we who teach are held to a higher standard of judgment. Oops. We'll just let that one go. We all... Oh no, sorry, Lord. I've done it already. I am preaching this to myself more than anybody else in the church. I have to tell you that. And you'll hear later some of my failings. We all fail in many areas, the next verse says. We all fail in many areas, but especially with our words. Yet if we're able to bridle the words we say, we are powerful enough to control ourselves in every way. And that means our character is mature and fully developed. This is how important it is. Let's go on. I'm thinking of our friend over there with the horses. Horses have bits and bridles, don't they, Bethany? Horses have bits and bridles in their mouths so that you can control them and guide their large bodies. And the same with mighty ships. Though they are massive and driven by fierce winds, yet they are steered by a tiny rudder at the direction of the person at the helm. And so the tongue is a small part of the body, yet it carries great power. Just think of how small a flame can set a huge forest ablaze. And the tongue is a fire. It can be compared to the sum total of wickedness. He doesn't mince his words, does he? And is the most dangerous part of the human body. It corrupts the entire body and is a hellish flame. It releases a fire that can burn through the course of human existence. And in the margin in my Bible, it says that is it carries on from generation to generation. So what we speak can influence the next generation down. So you're not even just controlling your tongue for yourself or your family. It's for what happens in the future as well. I'm going to go on. Every wild animal on earth, including birds, creeping reptiles, and creatures of the sea and land, have all been overpowered and tamed by humans. But the tongue is not able to be tamed. It is fickle, unrestrained, evil, and it spews out words full of toxic poison. Oof. We use our tongue to praise God, our Father, and then we turn around and curse a person who was made in his very image. Out of the same mouth, we pour out words of praise 1 minute and curses the next. My brothers and sisters, this should never be. Would you look for olives hanging on a fig tree or go to pick figs from a grapevine? Is it possible that fresh and bitter water can flow out of the same spring? So neither can a bitter spring produce fresh water. So as we were talking and praying before the meeting, we were saying, you know, what is it that we're drawing from? I think it was Paul that was saying, oh, I can't see you now. No. It was Paul that was saying, what you draw from is what is going to be eventually out, spewed out of your mouth. So what cistern are we drinking from? What are we drawing up? We can so easily draw up poison water. Even talking about something horrible like toilet water, weren't we? Sucking up, you know, this is stuff. This is just, it's not just mincing about the bush, is it? It's powerful stuff. And I was sharing about resonance with my friend Anne, who wanted to come. She came last year, but unfortunately she was in hospital having an operation. And I was telling her how I felt like God was really speaking to me about how important it is to deal with the things that are in us that still mean that we end up saying negative things or destructive things or things that aren't life-giving. And I was just explaining about a situation that happened at Resonance. Some of you heard this more than once, but... Delicious and I were prophesying. We were in the team at the front. And, you know, a number of people came to us. They were like time slots to have a 5-minute prophecy. So who should be walking towards us, Delicious and me, but an old friend of mine. And before I even thought about what I said, oh, no. And she sort of looked a bit askance, and I just immediately regretted it, and I wish I hadn't said it. And to be honest with you, after that, I was really struggling to find what God actually wanted to say to her in the prophetic. And I felt like afterwards that God really showed me that just in uttering something like an expletive, you know, the oh no was, well, what was it? What was the oh no? Where was it from? What spirit was it coming from? Fear, actually. It was, oh no, I know this person. You know, it's going to be more difficult to prophesy to her, if I'm honest. It was coming out of fear. So just check when you speak, where is it coming from? And I just felt like God say, you lost all authority at that point. You lost all anointing at that point. You know, it's really important that we actually control how we speak. And I believe that in this move forward of this church, this is something that's going to be absolutely crucial for us. We all need to step up in this. And we were praying earlier, and Becky was praying, and I just got like a revelation as she was praying, that what God wants to do in the midst of us is if we all start, I'm not saying we're going to be clones and all say the same things, but if we speak out the Spirit of God, there'll be a natural unity amongst us. If you start spouting off your own stuff, you know, Abby stuff, Adam stuff, Sue stuff, Grace stuff, that's nothing to do, that's not really what God is saying. That's just going in all different directions. But I think we'll find as we speak more what God is really putting on our hearts and curb the other things, we'll find that there'll be a natural unity amongst us, because we'll be kind of speaking the same language. And it just reminded me of the Tower of Babel, where God actually had to give lots of languages to split people up. He wants to do the opposite. He wants to do the opposite now. He wants us to be speaking from the same source and say the same things. And you will find this. I mean, Adam's always saying, oh, I went to this conference and they were saying the same things as I've heard somewhere else. This is the prophetic. I mean, God does speak, doesn't he? But here, let's hear, you know, let's have unity in the way we speak about one another and in situations. And we'll find that really binds us together as well. So I was explaining to Anne that God had shown me how important it was to get on top of this issue, you know, and that the things that have been a problem for us, we need to say no longer, you know, we're going to deal with this issue. And my friend Anne, she runs a ministry in Stockport, and they pray for 2 hours every morning, Monday to Friday, in that shop before they open the shop. And she's a real intercessor for Stockport. And does anybody know Rev 320? Yeah. Yeah, she's such a good friend, Anne. And she said, I had a vision, she said, and I've asked her permission to share this about Stockport. And in the vision, there was, and she said yes, by the way. there was a circle of people, angels, horses with chariots. The horses were pawing the ground. They were kind of ready to come down into Stockport. They're ready to invade, basically. But they were waiting for a word. It wasn't completely time yet. But what she saw in the spirit were like gates that were still closed. And she said the gates God showed her were negative ways of speaking that people had. Negative ways of speaking that actually were actually holding up what God wants to do in this town, in this city. Negative mindsets, and therefore negative ways of speaking, not speaking what God is speaking. It was actually, the doors were closed because of that. And she knew that those things have to be shifted and have to be moved in our lives as Christians before that full input of all the angelic and everything will come. God's no fool, you know. He doesn't. You can't just put things under the carpet and say, "Oh no, it doesn't exist." Can you? He's very real. He sees. Yeah. So it's really important. Yeah. And my daily reading yesterday was from Psalm 39, and David says, "Here's my life's motto. and the truth I live by. Now, what do you think that would be? What do you think David would be saying his true motto would be? I can fight giants. I'm a shepherd and God's a shepherd. Or no, he was saying, I will guard my ways for all my days. I will speak only what is right, guarding what I speak like a watchman guards against an attack of the enemy. I will guard and muzzle my mouth. That was David saying that. You see, he understood the truth that the enemy will use us if he can. He will speak through us. He will bring negative things, and he understood that. And to be frank, many of us suffer the consequences of some of the things that we've said over ourselves or over our circumstances. And God wants to change that, and he wants us to get ruthless with the lies that we believe and then we speak. You know, it's mind, heart, mouth. There's a root. In the Old Testament, the people of God had to have real-life battles, didn't they, with real-life enemies. But for us, those battles are still having to be fought, but they're actually mostly in our head and in our hearts. We're told to take down strongholds. And let's just read this very familiar verse from 2 Corinthians 10, because it's so fantastic. Although we live in the natural realm, verse 4, we don't wage a military campaign against employing human weapons, using manipulation to achieve our aims. Instead, our spiritual weapons are energized with divine power to effectively dismantle the defenses behind which people hide. I believe that in this book he's actually really talking about arguing with people about the gospel, but it also applies to our own thinking. We can demolish every deceptive fantasy that opposes God and break through every arrogant attitude that is raised up in defiance of the true knowledge of God. And we capture, like prisoners of war, every thought and insist that it bows in obedience to the Anointed One. Since we are armed with such dynamic weaponry, we stand ready to punish any trace of rebellion. Yeah, now that's pretty ruthless as well. It's not so we'll wander about and just, you know, it's ruthless, isn't it? So how did God teach us? How does he teach us to deal with enemies? Yeah, like I say, ruthlessly. And in the Old Testament, they were told to tear down engraved stones, negative things that are constantly going around in our mind. They had to be torn down and destroyed. High places had to be pulled down. What are high places? High places are things that we go to familiarly in our head. This is the way we think. That's a high place. It's the first thing we go to when we, you know, we're under pressure or something comes our way or a criticism. What is that thing we first go to, the high place? Those have to be torn down too, because we have to have the mind of Christ in every situation and not allow these things. And the molded images and the idols that they had to destroy those as well. What are those? They're just like the things that we go to for comfort, the things that we go to for to deal with, you know, the addictions, to be honest, and the things like that. Those too had to be destroyed. Everything had to be destroyed. And in Genesis 15, God makes a covenant with Abraham. And it was actually 400 years before it actually happened. But he says, I'm going to give you this land and I'm going to give you the enemy, all 10 tribes that you have to fight. And I was thinking this last week when Adam said something, because in Deuteronomy it says, but God warns them that 7 of those tribes out of 10 are more powerful than you are. Deuteronomy 7:1, it says 7 of them are more powerful than you are. So it looks impossible. Why would God ever allow us to face something that appears to be more powerful than us? Well, he wants us to grow, doesn't he? He wants us to get stronger. We're never going to be champions if we just fight things that are weaker than us and smaller than us. No, he brings things deliberately into our path that are too difficult for us, that are impossible without God. But with God, all things are possible. And I love, the first enemy, when they finally did make it 400 years later and Joshua took them into the promised land, the first enemy city was Jericho. And what did they have to learn to do in Jericho? They had to learn to be silent because they had to walk around 6 times without saying a word. They had to keep their mouth shut. And that's sometimes what God wants us to do, isn't it? Not just make a racket all the time and always say something, but sometimes we just have to keep our mouth shut. And we know on the 7th day, they had to go down 7 times and then they had to make a lot of noise. But that was under the instruction of the Holy Spirit. How about if we all learn to only speak under the instruction of the Holy Spirit? You know, and don't you think our words would carry more power and authority if we didn't just go like that all the time at other times? But, you know, we just spoke under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and then we know that what we're bringing is bringing life and liberty. So, yeah. I was just thinking, this might just be my idea, but I was just thinking, interesting about silence, because, of course, Jesus came before his accusers and he was silent. And in a way, Jericho is a picture of that. They were silent. And then, victory. Jesus was silent, and then there was a victory on the cross. It was a picture, like everything in the Old Testament, a picture of Jesus, because we know that he is the one that is the victor. So, how about these 10 tribes? You know, in Genesis, again, Genesis 15, I think it is. We're told what they all are: the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaim. Rephaim, they're giants, aren't they? Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. That's all 10 of them. And you think, what do we know to all these names for? It's a bit boring. That's what I used to think. But you know what? I was listening to, I'm going to give credits to John Paul Jackson for this. I was listening to some teaching that he did, and he said all these tribes actually represent something that we have to fight. So the Kenites, for example, that word means false accusations, lies. So we're talking about the things that influence what we speak. Let's just think about these. Lies. Or a temptation to lie about other people or not tell full truths about other people. Kenites. Hittites, that means terror and fear. How many times do we speak out of fear rather than out of love? It's a spirit of fear, because it says in 2 Timothy, doesn't it? God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Perizzites. That means squatters. That is the things that take root and won't move and won't change. And that means they bring apathy and change isn't possible and we can't move on. Girgashites. I've been attacked by the Girgashite spirit recently. The Girgashite spirit. Not in real life. Why are you laughing? Wait until you hear what it represents. It makes you feel like you're in the wrong church. You need to leave. That's what the Jewishite spirit says. Yeah, and I'm sure I'm not the only one. Just all of a sudden you think, oh, I don't think I'm quite in the right place. I'm a square peg in a round hole. I don't quite fit, or in my case, a round peg in a square hole. I don't quite fit. You know, I'll be honest, I've been under this attack. I haven't told Adam this, but yeah. It's only my clothes, you know, now. Amorites means inferiority, self-doubt, insecurity. These are all things that we're going to have to go after, guys. These are enemies in our soul and in our mind and in our spirit that are not meant to be there. They're squatters. And the last ones are Jebusites. Downtrodden, that means victim, depressed, condemned. Yeah. How many of these do we recognize? Maybe you recognize all 10, I don't know. But the people were warned, if they didn't deal with the enemy, that the sin would be a snare for them. In Exodus 23:33. And in Numbers, God says, if you don't drive out these inhabitants before you, they shall be, for those that remain, irritants in your eyes and thorns in your side. They will harass you. They will harass you. This is why God wants to pull them out of our souls, because they cause trouble all the time. They harass us. They make it difficult for us to see spiritually. You know, who wants eyes that have got things in them so you can't see properly and you can't see spiritually? It's a spiritual picture. We want to have clear vision and we have uncluttered minds. So I was rather self-consciously putting my swimming costume into a locker at the swimming pool. No, it wasn't putting the swimming costume, I was wearing that. Sorry. That's why I was self-conscious. My clothes were going in the locker. And this rather very, very tall, thin young man was standing next to me. And I noticed that he had this massive tattoo on his back. It covered his whole back. I'm coming to it. And it was a picture of an owl, okay, on his back. So I was thinking, well, what can I say to him? Well, no, I wasn't really needing to speak to him, but I did say, wow, that's an amazing tattoo. And he said, thank you. Because they're all kind of a bit, anyway, at that particular pool. It's a dream catcher, he said. It's a dream catcher. Oh, I said. And then I didn't know what to say next, so I just walked away. And I was plowing up and down the pool, praying in tongues, because Adam's told us to pray in tongues more. So I was doing it in the pool. I hope you're all praying in tongues more after what he spoke last week. And I was saying, God, what could I have said next? Because I always have the difficulty of what you're saying next to the person. You know, it's okay to say hello, and then is that it? So, what can I have said next? I could have said, well, God speaks in our dreams, couldn't I? Or he wants to speak to you, or something like that, but I didn't. Anyway, and I was thinking about that wonderful chapter in Isaiah 6 and how the prophet recognizes condition. I'm sure you're familiar with it, where it says, I'm a man of unclean lips and I dwell in a people of unclean lips. And how his mouth was touched by burning coals from heaven itself, from the altar, it says, presumably in heaven, that represented cleansing. And the next thing he said was, I'll go, send me. You know, this is the reason why our mouths have to really be clean, and what comes out has to be clean, because God wants to send us. He wants to send us out. He wants to send us out and actually to speak to people who don't know him. So, Bill Johnson says, the gospel puts us on the edge of the impossible and says, invade. The gospel puts us on the edge of the impossible and says, invade. So our words are important. They're important in lots of different situations. They're important in our families. They're important just in our own lives, what we say over our own lives, our own families, our own friends, in the environment that we're in. And as we reach out as well. And God wants us to have those pure lips and that pure heart. So, I want to ask you to respond. If anything I've said, I mean, I don't think I'm the only person in the room that sometimes says the wrong thing. I'm pretty sure that at least one other person. At least 10. So, if you'd like to respond, if you feel like God has put his finger on anything today that you need to change, anything that you need to be different about, I'd like you to stand up. I'd like you to all stand up anyway. Let's do it together. Maybe there's still some giants in your life. Maybe there's still some things that you need to sort out because they keep tripping you up. Maybe there's some things that cause you not to be able to see properly, or things that harass you. If you know that your speech is like mixed, you know, like it says in James, you can't have dirty water and clean water. If you know sometimes that what you say is not pure, well, let's just say, God, we're sorry. We're sorry. We're sorry, God. We want to repent, Lord. We want to say we're sorry, Lord. Let's just pray now, Father. If there's anything, just let the Holy Spirit reveal it to you. If there's anything that he wants to get out of your life today, any of these things, if you need to come forward afterwards, you can, and we can pray with you. But Father, we just want to repent today, God, for allowing our speech to become negative and destructive, because we know, God, that our mandate is to speak life and not death, Lord. Our mandate is to speak life in every circumstance we find ourselves in, however difficult it feels, God. Father, I pray that you give us courage to do that, Lord, and the words, Lord, to do it, Lord, that they would just well up from within, Lord God. The word, the living word, Lord, that changes the situation, Lord, that you would give us that more and more, Lord God. Father, yeah, David said, Lord, that the words of our mouth and the meditations and thoughts of every movement of my heart be pure and pleasing and acceptable before your eyes, God. So, Lord, we say we're sorry, Lord, if that hasn't been true today. But, Lord, we want it to be true, Lord, because we know, God, that the power of life and death is in our words, God. Lord, so we ask you, Holy Spirit, to come and stir us, Lord. Father, when we say things wrong, convict us by your Spirit, God. Change and shift us, Lord God. The things that come and just cause us to say negative things, Lord. Father, would you please come and just show us. Lord, we want to be transformed, Lord. We want to be able to speak life, Lord. Life, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you want us to deal with the enemies in our lives, God. You want us to deal, Lord God, with the enemy activity, Lord God. You want to stop that harassment in our lives, Lord. Father, Father, help us to be ruthless with strongholds, Lord God. Father, we pray that you send your Holy Spirit, Lord God, to go down deep into us, Lord, and root them out, Lord God. Those negative things, Lord, that have lodged there and stay there and say, I have a right to be here. Today, Lord God, we choose to evict those things, Lord God, and we say we want your Spirit to dwell instead of those negative things, Lord. Lord God, Father, oh Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Spirit of God. Thank you, Lord, that you're a pure and holy Spirit, God. Thank you, Jesus.
Do you want to take a feel? I just saw a picture just as Grace was praying of what looked like a dark substance, you know, and I just saw the Lord saying, "If you ask my people to drink," and his presence actually brings a purification. as we drink. Jesus said, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." There's just something about drinking in the purity of his presence that it actually brings a dilution to those things that Grace was talking about with, you know, the ites, those things that potentially are just through our lenses and through our veils that we are experiencing the world a certain way, and therefore we're starting to speak out of those places of wounds and hurts and thorns and thistles and etc. But I felt the Lord saying, if you ask the people to drink of my presence, to drink of my goodness, to just allow my spirit to come and to bring cleansing. And there is this flow of the river from the temple we see in, I think it's Ezekiel 47. It flows from the temple, but when it reaches when that fresh water reaches the salt water, it says there is this kind like an explosion of two kingdoms coming together, the darkness clashing with light, salt crashing with the fresh water of his presence. And I just felt that God was actually wanting to bring his presence into a deeper place in our lives, that out of the overflow, the mouth will speak the good things stored up inside. But it's not about so much what we get out, it's about what we get in. And I just felt the Lord saying he wants you to drink from his presence this morning. So just take a moment. You know, Christianity goes wrong when we try to do behavior management. Nobody's trying to make you speak better. We don't want you to do that. We just want you to drink more. Because what goes in eventually comes out. That's the grace of God, the goodness of God. He understands if he fixes something on the inside, it's fixed. And you just produce goodness then. You produce love, joy, peace, kindness, gentleness, self-control, perseverance, all these things in the character of God as we drink. So just in this moment, Holy Spirit, would you just come? Come, come, come. We choose to drink of the pure flow, the purifying flow of the Spirit of God. We drink now. Purify us. Right now, as I see this is pouring out of the refreshing waters of eternal life, as he's pouring out that life-giving Holy Spirit, I just see those places being diluted to the point where there's not even a trace anymore. He's filling you up. Your cup is overflowing. And all the stuff is being forced out and over the top. It's overflowing out. Just seal it in our hearts, Lord. And Lord God, as a daily discipline, would you help us by your Spirit to be ones who take a moment, the beginning of the day, and say, God, I want to drink from you. The first drink of the day. Let it be a drink of his presence. Let it be a drink of his presence. So Holy Spirit, we just ask you, seal it in our hearts. Let this be really a day of stepping over into something new. That we recognize our words are spirit and life. That what we speak, we're actually prophesying. And they have the power to create. Let us be an intentional people to create with our words wherever we go. To bring life. To call the things that are not into being according to your purposes. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.